happens.
Our next speaker is Carlos Rueda at Table 5, and he's going to be talking to us about MOOCs, massively open online courses, and some of the advances that McGill is actually making in that direction.
Hi. Couple of questions. Can you raise your hand if you ever registered for a MOOC? Okay. Can you raise your hand if you ever did at least one session? Okay. And can you raise your hand if you ever finished a MOOC? Oh, wow. You're good students. Can you raise your hand if you have no idea what a MOOC is? Okay. Good. So basically what MOOCs are in the last 4 or 5 years, universities have been taking the best, what they consider the best courses and profs to the online world. So they've been, with the help, for example, of John and Bernie, McGill here has been recording a few of their courses and put them online. So now they are available instead of to 30 or 40 or 100 people to 30,000, 40,000. So for example, our first McGill course, on chemistry had around 32,000 people registering, around 20,000 people who actually work on it, started, around 5,000 to 6,000 people who actually were interacting throughout the course. That gave us around 30,000 posts in discussion forums, and around 9 or 10% of people finish MOOCs. So that's a MOOC, and McGill has been involved in that for the last 2 years. Now let me tell you quickly a little story about Steve Jobs. In 1985, Jobs gave a talk in Sweden to university professors trying to explain what the personal computer really means. But he used an example. He said, when we invented the TV, the first thing we did is point a camera to a radio show, right? And it took 20 to 30 years to realize that actually that new medium or new technology was about doing something different, right? So he's talking that when we have a new medium or a new technology, we tend to fall into old habits. Now, there was an economic impact, which is making things more available, and that's what we've been doing with MOOCs. But he's referring to also look for the revolutionary impact, which is what it means really to have this new technology or new device. How is that really going to change the way we do things, not do the same thing in a different way? So that's where my mind has been in the last 3 years. And I wanted to thank McGill, of course, and Shirk for allowing me to quit my job and jump into this question. So, for example, 2,400 years ago, Aristotle helped us to design what we call a classroom or schooling or an education program, right? That was invented. That was a way of organizing human learning. But it's not the way. It's been a very successful way. It's all over the world. But it's only one way. So I think with what MOOCs are doing is putting between 10,000 to 100,000 people together, coming together in the online world for a few weeks, all sharing a common interest. And what we're doing, we're giving them a course. I mean, that's okay, but I think we can allow ourselves to go back to Aristotle's question and say, how can we organize human learning in new ways that actually makes more sense to this context? For example, knowledge. And Greg's talk was exactly about that. What is knowledge? Are we going to take the knowledge from books, or are we going to create the knowledge from that community? A program. Are we going to tell everyone to follow a sequence of sessions, or are we going to let them find their own path that makes more sense for each person? Are we going to rely and put the stress on one person to be the lecturer? I mean, we can assume that in a classroom of 20 or 30 people, the professor is the one that knows the most. But in a group of 100,000 people, that doesn't hold true anymore. So how can we tap in that vast knowledge, right, for everyone to share it? Only 8% of people are interested in grades and diplomas in MOOCs. That's okay, because, again, MOOC is not an educational revolution. In my perspective, it's a learning revolution. It's less about how we're going to change schools and more about how we're going to reinvent learning. So that's the questions I want to share. That's the question I'm going to share in my table. Like, have a little brainstorming session on how we're going to organize learning, starting from scratch. I've been involved in the last 2 years developing a MOOC, what we call Social Learning for Social Impact. I can explain more of the details in the table because I'm running out of time. Sorry. That's okay. I didn't have a slide. So I just wanted to put a question. So going back to the shared question, what knowledge will Canada need to thrive in an interconnected, evolving landscape? So how is my work or my research and the work that we're doing at McGill with the MOOCs related to this question? It's less about the what and more about the how. Because we can have some ideas of what knowledge we will need, but knowledge will emerge. Knowledge that we'll need will emerge. So how are we going to make sure that the right communities create that knowledge, share that knowledge, learn that knowledge together? So the way I would answer that question would be more about the how than the what. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. We have time for a couple of questions for Carlos. Can you move to the mic right beside you? Thank you.
Hi. So my question is, so on one hand, MOOCs are criticized as affecting quality. The quality you obtain in a classroom, you won't get in a MOOC. You don't have the chance to...
Do you mind going closer to the
MOOC? Yeah. On one hand, MOOCs are criticized as affecting quality. You won't get the same quality you get in a classroom. You don't have the opportunity to ask questions. On the other hand, MOOCs are also seen as effective means of social justice because more and more students have access to education, especially when people cannot pay tuition. So how would you sort of balance out that conflict? The conflict between quality on one hand and social justice on the other. And also the fact that MOOCs could then result in the churning out of graduates by the dozen, but no jobs available for those graduates who've sort of gone through education with MOOCs.
In the case of Steve Jobs, for example, when he puts the TV and the radio and how the TV affected radio, at the end, both survived and we use both technologies. So in the same way, I think the university, the campus experience and the MOOCs will get together, will survive together. My point is, I don't think we should judge it as which one is better than the other. I wouldn't like to go in there. I think MOOCs can do a better job than campus experience in ways that campus experience hasn't tapped into. Right? So campus experience will always be better than MOOCs. And that's okay. But I think MOOCs can be better in their own kind of ways. Did I answer your question? No, not really. Huh?
Sort of. Yes.
Sort of. Okay.
Please. Just a short question. I'm an architect, and I'm always asking myself with these future of university in terms of space, and what's going to change in terms of structure, physical structure. You just mentioned a little bit on like what the campus means in terms of space and what it means to learn at home. I mean, I tried a MOOC and I didn't finish it. I was not immersed enough and was not. And I like to work in team, and I think that was part also the fact that you can get more traction to that. So, how we design space for MOOC? Do we need space? Do we need a campus? Do you think this needs to change radically? And do you think that MOOC needs you to have your space at home, like you do your homework?
please join my table if you can. This is a beautiful question, because usually the argument is, well, in MOOCs you're alone in your home, and in the campus experience you're in a community. That's a partial of the answer. So what MOOCs should do, Ren, is you are seated at home or at work. It's not that you don't have a community. Your family is your community. Mm-hmm. Your roommates are your community. Or your work teammates are your community. So how can we as teachers tap onto those community experience? So you are engaged in a community while learning. That's what I mean when actually doing what the campus experience is not doing, to find new ways of learning.
Thanks.
Please join me in thanking Carlos.